You are listening to Let's Go, the weekly anime podcast about weekly anime from Dynamite in the Brain and Secret of the Sailor Madness. So come along and hang with the Let's Go gang. Dwayne.
Hello.
Niall.
Yo, everybody.
And me, Brian. So this week we're covering all the usual locations, but will all of them make it to the end? One of them won't if I have my way about it.
I got a feeling I know which one you mean, but we'll get to that when we come to it.
Yep.
Okay, here we go. Dragon Ball Super, episode 75. Goku and Krillin go back to the old training grounds, in which they go back to the old training grounds.
Yeah, for some reason I thought I was going to have more fun with this episode. A lot of the premise. You know.
It's just preying on the dads in the audience's fears about their marriage. But it's another one of these stories just to get, like last two episodes, were to get Gohan up to speed so he'll be back fighting in the next arc.
Yeah.
This is to get Krillin back up to speed so he's fighting best for the next arc.
I don't understand. Krillin never stopped. But yeah, it's kind of nice to see the old gang, and it kind of starts with, what is it? Goku's showing that he plows the fields.
Yes, using... well, Chi Chi has had a great idea. Since Goku knows training so much, and he also needs to till the field, why not combine the two and have him just shoot off energy blasts to plow the field?
The tractor's broken, so yeah, fuck it.
That too.
And Goten's not allowed to train, but Gohan's not allowed to train, but Gohan does know somebody who would be willing to train with Goku, and that is the great Saiyan Man.
Oh, yes, my good friend.
And then we get the cutie hoodie introduction that he gives himself.
That was pretty great.
I mean, like he's on the ball there. He's better at all the other things except for Great Sam.
I don't know which one I did, but I think it's like the very earnest like thumbs up when he's like, "No, sometimes I'm the son-in-law of Mr. Satan." I think, yeah.
At times, Panchan's kind dad, and at times, a great scholar in training, Mr. Satan's son-in-law. Videl San's reliable husband.
Reliable husband, I think, is a good compliment.
I think it was a couple more after that.
Yeah.
But yeah, obviously, yeah. Who could this mystery man be? But they have like a good training session, but then they've destroyed the
part
fields.
Of the plateau that the farm is on, yeah. Which is, obviously, Chi-Chi ain't too happy with that.
And does he then go around trying to find other people, or does he go straight to Krillin?
I think Gohan fills us in as to everyone else is fucking busy because they have lives.
That's it, yes.
Like Piccolo's helping out. What's his name?
Kami.
Yeah.
Winston Beers had to attend the
conference,
a seminar.
Even gods have jobs. Yeah, I thought that was pretty good. it's basically like everyone else is busy. So and Gohan's like, "What about Krillin?" It's like, all right. I forgot he exists.
Unless the dinner's ready. Goku, where'd you go? He's already gone.
Oh, there's a line in there about when they go see Vegeta, and he goes, glaring sounds kind of like a typical Vegeta sound thing to do.
Yeah, Goten has to, and Vegeta was just, giving him this face, and he had to raise up his own eyebrows to give enough of a glare, because his face is incapable of that kind of motion. dear. Which is weird, because I thought Vegeta would be up for that kind of thing, you know?
Maybe. You don't know. Maybe it's coming up to the time at which he's going to get a daughter, so.
Okay.
Oh, so you will be the kind of guy who says, I'm not going to train with you. You smell. I don't like you. No. It wouldn't be agreeable.
Yeah.
Presumably other attempts at trying for a second child have been interrupted by Goku teleporting into their bedroom.
That is true.
But who the real father is.
Oh, dear.
So Krillin and Krillin's feeling like he's not the man his wife married.
Yeah, he was taking on some hard thugs, and he even got fucking shot and bleeding.
He got winged in the arm.
Like a wussy. It's just dude.
Like that would be cool the way, you know, you kind of just tops it off for a regular guy, but this is a dude who can fly and crush rocks with his toes. So
to be fair, dude, all he does is put a bandage on it, and later on he's not even wearing that, so he's fine. I don't think most people recover in an afternoon from a gunshot wound.
Ah, yes, his mutant heating factor kicked in.
Oh, dear. But, Goku interrupts the armed robbers and, you know, just stops them straight away. And the police are, like, completely like, thank you, kind citizen, for, you know, none of them question the man who teleported. Did he fly there or teleport there? I feel like...
Look, I think the Cell games and like the assault of Majin Buu is still in like people's like living memories, so they're probably used to seeing this kind of thing by now.
Yeah, they wish that nobody remembered it was Goku, but they're probably they know there's some weird shit on the planet.
Yeah, also like a a gold spaceman came in a flying saucer like not too long ago and intent on destroying the Earth. So again, they're probably used to seeing this kind of thing.
Sure.
And basically, they go back to his house. He's guilt tripped into going to train with Goku. Basically, guilt?
Yeah,
it's like, hey, Krillin, you ripped the shit out of you.
Yeah,
and the kid like accidentally joining in is like, is Daddy really weak? Kind of thing. I think 18 was doing it just to kind of give him the. I think 18 was like, we're pretty sure, right, that she was definitely doing it just to give him the shove out the door.
Yes.
To do something that he wanted to do but wouldn't have done because I'm a family man now. I don't go doing martial arts training anymore. And he's like, come on, you want to do it? Because I don't think she'd be that shit. She's on the better scale of wives, the Dragon Ball wives. Chi Chi's on the opposite side, obviously.
So they go off to Roshi's Island with present.
Mm. It's important. Please train us.
Yes.
So I mean, that's how you get him to do it, yeah.
Exactly. So in order to prevent Goku from just killing Krillin outright, they have him dress up in a turtle suit.
Like where he purchased this?
made it himself.
Like a weighted turtle suit?
He made it himself from real turtles.
And you can't fly. And you can't go Super Saiyan. Yeah, you have to apply a bunch of rules to them. It has those weird the sandals that have just like one peg you have to balance on.
Mm. Yeah. It's still
which
weird,
I thought would be fine on a beach, you know?
Yeah, but then they start running across water.
Yeah, Goku still like easily can beat him.
But he has like attained the power of the gods themselves.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's why Roshi was like, I'm not going to train you, dude. You're
I way don't beyond me. Think I can all... I don't think it's like a big, like weighted suit. I the kind of what you would use to wear to a trained attack dog, so that's going to hold him back too much.
Sure, yeah, not at this stage.
But, okay, I'm feeling okay.
No, it may have similar magic to binding people into vases, though, or rice cookers, which Roshi does know. He can deal with gods. If Goku gets too big for his boots, he can seal him
up. He can put him in a pot.
Yes. So then they got to go and fetch this, go and do some chores for him. They're going to go and fetch this herb. But it's not from a shop. You've got to go to this island, this one particular island. And when they get there, they meet...
Baba.
Roshi's sister. A fact I forgot.
Yeah, I was just kind of like, oh, it's that witch.
Yes, I mean, like, I like really? The character. I'd forgotten that she was related.
Yeah, it doesn't really come up much. She's got her own thing.
Yeah. Mm. It's quite often, the thing she, her own thing is quite often the sort of thing which then happens next.
Yeah.
Where they have to face giant-sized versions of previously defeated foes.
Yeah, I was getting a very like Star Wars vibe. It's like, well, what do we find in here? Only what you bring with you.
Yes.
You know, kind of thing. It's like, oh no, it's Tambourine.
It's Guy. Yeah.
I was like, initially I thought it was Garlic Jr. And I was like, is that Garlic Jr.? I've forgotten what he looked like.
No.
No, it's...
The guy who iced him all those years ago.
Yeah, all the people who've killed Krillin have shown it.
Oh, that's a bad day.
It's just happened to the same guy twice, three times, four times. Oh, I lost count on the stage.
It's actually not that many times. There's people who've had it worse.
It's not. Yamcha?
It's only been like about twice, I think.
No, Yamcha's been beaten by everyone at this
stage. I think Yamcha's only been killed twice, according to the wiki.
I don't know about the end of that baseball game. He didn't look
that's
great.
That's true, yeah. It may still be there. He's not on the graphic for the next arc, so.
Mm,
well, why would he be? But no.
He's probably like crippled for life.
Yeah, he should just show up wrapped in bandages and Pu'ar still reassuring him that he did a good job. And that's our cliffhanger.
I wasn't really sure it was going to be another two part thing. I guess it is. If we can get a bit more about Krillin, you know, possibly facing his fears, and maybe, you know, give him some confidence. And all. I'd like to see him. Well, I was kind of fine with him, like, you know, feeling, you know, like he's kind of past this. He's not allowed to do other things. But he keeps getting dragged back into this stuff, and he usually gets his arse handed to him. So I did see him get a little bit of the old magic back, and so he's more of a incredible contestant in the tournament that comes up, you know?
Yeah, he's not going to, like, be the guy who beats the final boss or anything, but it'd be nice to see him get some kind of going on him, you know?
It'd be nice to see him, like, get out of his bracket, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, judging from the poster for the Universe Survival Arc, he's going to shave his head.
Ooh, that's it.
The hair's coming off, lads.
Yes. That's what's been holding him back.
Oh, dear.
Unless, of course, that's misrepresented. And then, of course, there was in Japan, they had a 15-second preview of the Universe Survival Arc, which they have now put on YouTube. So you get to see some of the other Gods of Destruction.
Oh, shit, really?
Their angels and the kamis as well, over their universes.
What if two universes have, like, dogs or something?
I think there's a clown.
Oh, dear.
We also see a female Saiyan in the thing.
Okay.
Who people have dubbed female Broly, or Broly, because her hair seems to be like the legendary Super Saiyan color.
Oh, the kind of greenish
hair,
yellow. Yeah.
There's another woman fighter who looks a bit like a Teletubby, but not a Teletubby. It's a reference to something else, which other anime have referenced.
Okay.
Which looked like Teletubby. I think it's supposed to be the Black Devil character from that old comedy show that Beat Takeshi used to do. But this is pink and only has, like, one antennae. And there's a wolf man of some kind who I hope is an alternative version of Man Wolf from Dragon Ball, one of the martial arts tournaments.
Oh, right.
He was a wolf man who turned into a man on a full moon.
Oh, I remember that guy. Oh,
dear.
That's kind of what I'm hoping a lot of these fighters are going to be alternate versions of characters we don't see in the series much.
Yamcha, but good.
Yeah, that'd be great. If we won universe, Yamcha's the most powerful person. So looking forward to that. And that apparently starts February 5th and gets a new opening theme.
Oh, really? Mm. Well, I'm sure it'll be nice.
Yeah, and the team apparently is Goku, Vegeta, Gohan, Krillin, Android 17, Android 18.
Wait, 17?
Yep.
I thought he was dead. I mean, like, not that makes a difference.
That doesn't make a difference.
But he's been dead for a while. You know that way? It's like dead that they've forgotten about him. Whereas Baba's still around, obviously. You know, that's
Piccolo, Tenshinhan, Roshi, and Majin Buu.
Hopefully there isn't an exam this time. Oh, they're pretty quick.
That's like... that's 10 people, isn't it, I think? So that's twice as many as the previous tournament.
I mean, like, I'd be kind of worried about that, because that seems that this is really going to be drawn out, but the last tournament was so much fun.
Yeah, and the fights weren't drawn out.
Exactly.
And it's kind of like, you're kind of thinking, like, oh, there's that many people, and there's going to be that many people, perhaps on the other sides. It's going to be, like, loads of variation. And
It won't be just, like, complete power versus power. It'll be, you know, I'm going to try and outsmart you and get a ring out or some other tactic.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm sure some of the other universes who aren't involving our universe, those fights will probably be just, like, clips.
Yeah, unless they're, like, important characters, so we get an idea of what they can do.
But I bet there'll be loads of, like, this guy just wipes people out really quickly, and we're going to see him, like, down the line face our guys.
Yeah,
so it looks like a cross between Contest of Champions and Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Sounds good.
Because apparently the universes get destroyed if you lose.
Oh. Oh, no.
Big sticks.
Yeah. it's all a game to those crazy little kid gods.
And I forgot there was two of them now.
Yes. On to the shorts. Ninja Girl and Samurai Master, episode 16. Let's just say it got built overnight.
Got to put the foundation in, at least.
Yes, and they've been working on it 3 days before they got attacked. They mentioned.
Yeah, they have to fit a lot into this one.
They do. They manage it, though. Of course, the favourite gag is Chidori saying, "Oh, I'll go and deal with this," and that other guy saying, "No, it's not a girl's job," and then by the time he's turned around...
slaughtered.
She's like, what, annihilating people's not a girl's job?
And he's like, I apologise.
Turns out it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, at one point, Oda is so impressed, we get to see his mouth.
Yeah, when he gets very emotional, before. He grows a mouth, I think.
Yes. We've seen it before, yeah. We do it happen very often.
Usually when he's shouting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Mino 3 decides to switch sides after they hear that their former master is now thinking of introducing the Mino 4, the Mino
16.
10, 16. Sorry, yeah.
He's like, motherfucker.
And then they remember how beautiful Oda's wife is. And that her dad had apparently said that Oda could have had Mino anyway. So
we should probably go with Oda because his wife is super cute.
Yes. Aww. And so they all run off blushing to join Oda's side. And yeah,
and Hideyoshi's moved to general.
Oh yes, he is.
Yeah. Yeah, he's gotten like what, 3 promotions in one or something.
Yes,
but he's still an underling.
Well, he's not going to be the top.
Yeah,
dog,
yeah,
right,
obviously.
Like that.
But he's really impressed by the amount he has, and then he realizes, wait a minute, I'm still like an underling. poor guy.
And then he's got food poisoning again by the end of the episode.
The one thing that can take him down.
Yes. Yeah, it was got lots of fun, lots of historical, and all in 2 minutes.
Yeah, it's quite impressive how much it manages to fit in, but there is basically someone talking constantly in that episode. Yes.
And I like the music cues. I don't think we've ever mentioned that. I do like the music cues.
Yeah.
Because they reuse them again and again. Once you're that far in the series, they can almost use that as shorthand now.
Yeah, I think the one they didn't use as much this episode was the... what's the little drum where it was like boom, boom, bada boom, which is generally like scene transition / punchline of a joke.
Yes.
They didn't get to use that one this much because they were trying to cram so much in.
And a lot of it was all taking place in the same location.
Yeah, yeah.
Anything to add before we move to Bono Bono?
Educational. It's actually quite educational.
It is. I'd say it's the most educational this week.
Hmm.
Not that it has... It has two people, two other shows to compete with it.
Well, one isn't trying and one is kind of trying.
Yes.
Well, one is more giving you a different education about, well, and what's life all about, man? What does this mean?
Oh, yeah. Well, I suppose, if we add this one, this may be educational as well. Bono Bono, episode 28, Fishing Cat Has Fun. In which Fishing Cat tries to get to a tree without anybody noticing him.
Yeah, as he doesn't initially say where he's going. It's like, okay, I'm gonna go through the woods, and there's going to be no one there. And he keeps passing, like, everyone in the woods. He passes Raccoon twice taking a piss on a tree, doesn't he?
Yes.
Fuck's sake.
And then Wolverine taking a shit in the road.
He was going to take the road after all. It's like, Wolverine's shitting in the road. Ah, fuck it, I'll go through the woods.
He gets to the tree, and Raccoon's dad's there.
And then they decide, it's like, oh, if you're going to be here, I'm not going to fucking be here. It's like, no, I'll leave first. They have a race to see who's going to leave the first.
But it's actually a trick, because Fishing Cat is going to let him win, so he'll stay. Because they both want to see, I can't remember what it was called, it was some phenomenon which only happened...
every 2,046 days or something.
Is it Wolverine's dad shows up and explains it? How often it happens. And apparently it's just this water squirting out, pink water squirting out the bottom of this tree.
Yeah, it looks like the tree's taking a piss.
Yes. Everyone gathers around to take a look at it.
But, I mean, like, obviously, you know, Raccoon's like, seriously, this is what we come to see? It's like, but it's really impressive. It only happens this often. It's a very rare occurrence. And he's just not impressed because it's not very impressive.
No, but it is strange.
But it is rare. Weird. Yeah.
It's weird. It's weird that it's happening, and it's weird that it happens so regularly.
At that specific interval, yeah.
It's like Old Faithful, but for a tree.
I think there was one character in here I couldn't remember. Was it Prairie Dog? There's a couple of characters. There's one who's fallen over. There's another character who's hanging off some
there's
grass.
Like a weasel hanging off some grass.
Was that Old Man Weasel? Was that the guy who's good at cutting stuff?
Shit, I can't remember.
Who said he was good at cutting stuff?
Yeah, I and he's only hanging off the grass. So someone would go, do you need a hand? Because it looks like he's hanging on for his life. He's like, no, watch this. And climbs it up really quick. Hoping to impress random passers-by, I guess?
Yes, that was exactly what he was doing.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they were probably the weasel and the prairie dog. I've got the names in the notes, and I was like, Old Man Weasel, he's pretty good at cutting stuff. Prairie dog, can't remember the deal here.
The Fennec shows up again.
Yes.
There's a few ones that show up in this.
Yeah, I think most people show up because Fishing Cat's trying to get to the tree without them seeing him.
Yep, and he's the only one who comes back later at night when everyone else has left.
Yes.
To just still investigate this strange phenomena.
Well, that's Fishing Cat for you.
Yep.
That's how he has fun, apparently.
This is fun for him.
Okay, on to our other shorts with an episode 28. Of course, we must say, I keep forgetting to say, we're 13 episodes behind on Bono Bono.
Yeah, well, yeah. Other than that, we'd have to like just watch a whole bunch of them.
Yes.
Which would be fine.
You could do that if you want to. But then it could like run out all of a sudden.
Yeah.
But Shonen Ishibe is modern and with it, and episode 28 is Teacher's Training, in which the teacher is forced to go into the mountains to train.
Because he's been living off this good life way too long.
Yes. But everyone feels...
Katsu curry and stuff.
Everyone feels sorry for him and feeds him.
Yeah, to the point where he actually put on more weight because all he's doing is sitting in the mountains being fed.
Oh, and his master comes back as well, who's great. I forgot that he yogic flies everywhere.
Yeah, because he's reached enlightenment.
Yes.
He just zooms in, like, takes his... I don't know what it is.
It was like a canteen and a
this is
packed lunch
is thermos, yeah.
Yeah,
this man flies away again. Like, you didn't come back on that.
No, he flies away and he goes, master, they're empty. And then he throws them back at the teacher's head.
And
meanwhile, back in Japan, they're trying to make Gomachan lose weight?
Yes.
Yes, but by doing exercises around Gomachan. Gomachan does none of the exercises himself.
Because, well, Gomachan, we'll do press-ups. And it's like, Gomachan can't do press-ups. It's like, okay, we'll do sit-ups. I'll tie you to my belly as I do sit-ups is the dad's solution, yeah.
That would kind of work.
Yeah. That would probably a little work, but most of the time Gomachan has its face stuffed in a bag
of crisps, yeah.
Yeah.
I like these sit-ups where Ishibe is just counting along with his dad but not doing sit-ups. Just like,
yeah, because his dad can't see. Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, lots of teacher stuff. So,
And Sugawa's mom is not that impressed with the teacher nowadays as well, because on the one hand, he says he didn't want her food, and it sounds like, you got a problem with cooking? Is that it? You've been fun mooching around here all this time, and now you've got the phone neck to be making complaints about with the way the food is? Well, I don't know about that now.
Yeah, yeah. She takes it more as him complaining and not being a very good teacher.
The Yeti seems more appreciated than the teacher is in this episode. But the Yeti is better behaved as well. He's not carrying Sugao around all the time.
Well, maybe they finally trained him in.
But yeah, it was a good fun episode. Nice to check back in the Himalayas to see what's going on there.
Yeah.
And the teacher ends up getting frozen.
Just like his master.
Yes.
He made it. He got enlightenment, maybe.
And I've never checked, but is it like the same In Search of the Unknown type crew?
I think it's the same TV program. I think his master was also found frozen while eating some food.
Yes, yeah, because we had a flashback. But this one had got an ice box.
It's more modern, yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Well, this country is a gold mine for strange occurrences like that, so why would they ever leave?
That's true, yes. That family is a gold mine for strange occurrences.
They don't even know there's a Yeti living with that family.
Strange, nothing odd happened before this family moved in here.
Yes.
Coincidence? But now, 8 o'clock tonight.
Right. let's move on to some other monsters. Let's talk Interviews with Monster Girls, Episode 2, Dullahan-chan Wants to be Coddled. Hey, you remember last week when I said a teacher might look at this and say that teacher's not behaving like a teacher should? With this episode, any human being would look at this and go, I'm not watching this anymore because that teacher is an idiot.
Yep.
Yeah.
And like, a bad teacher.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's like so many ways you could be fired and or arrested for
he doesn't realize he's doing it, Dwayne, which is the show's get out, or I assume the manga's get out clause.
Yeah, that's what I take
it's okay
as.
This guy went to college and got obviously a teaching degree. You know, he's just like a regular guy about town. This never happened to him before. We can't put fucking two and two together here.
Yeah, I mean, even Onizuka could put two and two together in Great Teacher Onizuka, and he was attempting to become a teacher to pick up schoolgirls. And then decided that no, that was the wrong thing to do.
I think before he started trying to investigate whether demis and how investigate demis and interview them and talk to them about how they live their life, he should have looked at how humans function and what's considered improper and such. That should have taken priority. Yeah,
like he's the. An established teacher at that school. This isn't like his first week or nothing.
Oh, wait, no. He's only 24 though, so he's quite. He's probably only been there a year.
That's still a lot.
But yeah, he still should know how to behave. I mean, it was worse because I watched this after the episode of Classicaloid we're talking about, which makes a joke of the fact of characters. Adults behaving in a way in school which they shouldn't be, and a character is like, what is going on here?
Yeah,
I know, but it's done amusingly, and there's a character in the show who's going, no, this can't be happening. What is going on?
Yeah, it's a fair good comparison, all right, where one person's like, this is messed up right here.
Whereas,
and at this show, it's like, oh, it's pure and innocent.
Yeah. Yeah,
so I was wondering what exactly pissed you off in the episode, because there was a few things.
That was the main thing.
That's the kind of the through line, across both stories you get in this episode.
Yeah, like the what is it? The coddling of her, where it's like, oh, teacher, would you hug my head? It's like, well, that's wildly inappropriate and you can't really do that. Oh, okay, fucking fine. Yeah, sure. It's like, hey, teacher, would you go on a pretend, inverted commas, date with Dula?
Well, no. It's an experiment.
Yes, it's played to him as an experiment.
To see if she did go on a date, if this would be okay. And he's like, oh, that sounds reasonable, he says, taking her to the park where everyone can fucking see and he's totally going to get arrested.
Okay. Also, he'd probably just get arrested for carrying around a human head.
Yeah, I mean, like, that would probably be one thing.
Because we also learned
me, sir, is that a small girl's head? Yeah, because there's only three of these fucking things in the world.
Exactly. Yeah.
And people probably don't know much about that.
Well, I suppose. Well, let's be fair, he was tricked by an immortal vampire, a creature of the night, made of centuries of not actually.
Oh, dear. See, I thought the bit that would have pissed you off was the bit where her body is taking a piss, and he's holding her head, who knows it's taking a piss, which is weird.
It is weird. That bit didn't bother me. Let me say, this wasn't even the thing, the straw which broke the camel's back.
Okay.
I thought, oh, because it airs on Saturday, I was like, oh, maybe we should watch episode 3 as well. And I started watching episode 3, and I was like, nope.
Okay, what happened in 3? I haven't watched it yet.
It's all about the succubus, and she's an even worse teacher than he is.
Okay. Because I noticed the way that all of them are doing this thing of fondly looking at that main male teacher guy, and they keep looking at his arms as like, oh, such muscular arms. And the camera keeps focusing on that as if like that's what they're looking at kind of thing. And it's a weird kind of thing because I'm like, that's not appropriate. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Anyway, not watch any more of this.
Oh, fair enough.
Chucking it in the bin.
We gave it a fair shot, I think. It's lasted longer than some things.
Yeah, I was questioning my commitment at this episode, and if the next one doesn't really improve on that, then I don't think
go as far as the next episode just to see what you saw.
I didn't get very far into it, but
okay.
Maybe turn it around, but after watching them in succession, I was like, oh, I don't need this nonsense in my life.
Fair enough.
Think I'll, if I want, like, you know, good... Honest filth. I have another Monster Girl show that takes care of that for me.
Oh, you mean Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid, episode 2?
I do.
Second Dragon Canna. We're totally spoiling here, in brackets. In which we're, as the title suggests, we're introduced to a second dragon, Canna. This wasn't quite as, I didn't think it was quite as full bore comedy as the first episode, but it had...
Yeah, the direction seems kind of different.
It had lots of action in it, though, still.
Yeah, especially because of that action sequence. I was like, wait, is this the best fight we're going to get this week?
I guess
the kind of comedy was just that she somehow fits into this society despite not knowing how it works.
Yes, but then there's a lot of sort of sentimental stuff with this.
Yeah.
Kid dragon who's been chucked out of dragon civilization, which apparently is another universe.
Well, it makes sense, like, that nobody else seems to notice that there are magical dragons flying about. It's like, oh, they're from a different universe. Okay. So somehow, in a drunken stupor, she managed to wander into a different universe and save a dragon?
Maybe. Or that dragon somehow, whatever happened to her, she got a sword stuck in her back. Mm. Whatever event may have thrown her from her dimension into ours.
Right, yeah.
And we learned that apparently they think she's dead in the other dimension, except presumably the two dragons who she's rung up already.
Yeah. She says she hasn't told many dragons. But, it's kind of her retirement, according to the little one. Mm.
And, the other comedy bit is her walking the little dragon around town and sort of answering questions and sort of bluffing when she doesn't know the answers. Like the seesaw in the children's playground is how humans practice catapulting.
Yeah, because eventually they're going to have to learn to kill dragons. And you got to start somewhere. It's like, you have to wait till the signal cross before you cross the road. And it's like, because otherwise you get hit by a car. How do the cars work? Magic? Probably magic.
Yes.
I like as well when they are out shopping earlier on. And it's like, yo, Toru, hey, come on in. I got some fresh fish for you today. Hey, I'll give you an extra one for free. Okay. Oh, thank you very much. It's like, wow, you're really friends with all the shopkeepers in the market here, Toru. I was just being polite to them. They're being nice back to me. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, she's kind of surprised that the dragon has better people skills than she does.
Yeah, she's like, oh, she's a better human being than I am.
Yeah, it's nice. Even when she's minding the kid later on, she's like, wait, you don't want to play video games all day? That's what I did when I was a kid. Oh, dear.
And there's some more please eat my tail gags in there as well.
Yeah, a couple of short
bits. They kind of like, they put in like some really short bits in the episode, which I like that approach as well. It's like, don't make a gag, outstay its welcome.
Yeah, as long as it needs to be.
But yeah, it's pretty good, and I assume, what's next week's episode, or the episode?
It involves another dragon.
I'm sure it will, yes.
Yeah.
I looked at it, but I can't remember what it was now.
Still enjoying this one, yeah.
Yeah, I think we do like another... Well, from the credits, it looks like another three dragons, isn't there?
Yeah.
There's Sea Dragon one, there's Fafnir, and then the other one.
Yeah. The one, I think the one she called on the phone, wasn't it?
Well, I don't know, was it her or the blonde lady or the one with the horn there? Was she called one of those on the phone? Then I guess the guy in the black suit is Fafnir.
Yeah, since he's the only guy dragon that we know about so far.
The guy who seemed to fit the voice we've heard so far and the personality.
Still pretty fun. Again, maybe it's just consenting adults makes this a lot better.
True. Well, consenting adults, dragons, anyway. Yeah.
Well, they're grown up, except for the kid one.
Who's still probably like 1,000 years old, but that doesn't matter.
They still treat her as a kid, what's important. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so the crux is they then let this other dragon stay in the house as well.
Like, how full is this house going to be? Because it doesn't look that big.
I think this is as full as it gets. I think they find the other dragon's other homes.
Right.
Yeah, it seems to be like, the other blonde dragon, she seems to go to her house when her character is to be introduced.
Okay.
Yeah. Righty-ho, on to Classicaloid, episode 15, The School Festival from Hell, which is a Sosuke episode.
Yay, everyone's favourite character.
in which he wants to form a band made up of the classicaloids to play at the school festival.
In order to get attention from ladies?
Yes.
But anybody, anybody at all.
I suppose, yeah, anyone.
And the problem is, even when he works hard, he's not very good at making music.
Well, I mean, like, he used to work hard just to get them to stop playing the game of life.
That is true, yes.
That's kind of the thing. He doesn't have any talent.
Yeah. And weirdly, well, I don't know, it's a bit weirdly, but like, of all people, it's Mozart who kind of is the one who's cottoning on to this the most. And I guess in his own way, it's telling him what he needs to hear, and that's certainly what he wants to hear.
Yeah, he's actually motivating him by, like, completely destroying him.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, he puts together, he's from here the song he's been working on all week, and then there was this, like, tense moment where everybody's kind of waiting for somebody else to say something for us. He's just going, okay,
I like the way they're talking, like, in their monologues, but somehow they're having a conversation just by glances and shit.
Telepathy. And, what should we do, guys? I don't know.
Beethoven is not paying attention. Yeah.
Chicken would be good. Yes, good idea, Sensei.
And then, of course, there's the bit earlier with Kanai horrified when she shows up at school and all the classicaloids are there.
They keep forgetting to do the actual band thing, and they're just getting involved in the various different parts of the fair.
It's the way she discovers them one by one and keeps on lining them up to tell them off. And then it turns out, oh, the principal's okay with these people being here.
Like Schubert, he's organized and...
I love the cheering later on where they're all like, Beethoven senpai, and it's like all the different crowds are cheering the different guys, and everyone, all the girls like Mozart, and it's just the two, the principal and a teacher cheering Schubert. That was fucking great. Because he's being such an excellent teacher to these children.
That's what he wants to do.
Yeah, that's what he's qualified for, sure.
And all of Chopin's fans have got cardboard boxes on their heads.
They're all the guys who want to stay out of the damn festival, man.
I know how you feel, man. It's all out of shit. It's all lies.
Oh, dear.
But it ends with Sosuke performing alone his song that he's written, which apparently unleashes his music.
His music is like the horrible depression. I feel bad. Like, I feel physically ill listening to
this. Was wondering whether it was like a remix version of that. Was it Gloomy Sunday, the suicide song? That song which is supposed to cause people to commit suicide.
I hadn't thought of that. That would be a pretty good one if it remixed it, if there was a remix of that.
I don't think it is, but that was the thing it reminded me of.
Yeah.
The Hungarian suicide song.
But I think, bizarrely, I think this was Mozart's plan anyway. It's just like, you need to just express what is you. And he expressed, like, his song is just like, I'm shit, I have no talent. You know, and everyone just got really depressed from it and found it really amusing.
The people
later
who survived, though, like, enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Dude, that
a
was
few
a
people were carted off in ambulances.
Pads cracked and blew Goonstein oozing out of him.
Oh, dear. Good stuff.
Yeah, it was a good episode. And there was, they were all doing their own school festival thing as well, because Mozart was dressed up as an eel.
I'm not sure where he got that thought, but yeah, that was his thing.
Yeah, obviously Beethoven was running
a gyoza stand. Yeah.
I can't remember what everyone else was doing. But
I think, what was it? Liszt was just going around telling everyone to confess their love.
Yeah.
Mostly giving the girls advice, as I guess. Yeah. Confess to that guy, he's a loser. You gotta, like, learn to love somebody else, yourself, girlfriend.
Yeah. They all fit in, like, so well that nobody notices there's a bunch of adults wandering around the school.
Also, as well, like, this intel has reached Evil Music Corporation, and it's like,
oh, Fox, yeah.
Mr. Bach, you know, apparently there's some kind of band forming at the school festival. What would happen if 5 of the 8 legendary sounds perform at once? It's like, we should probably go down there and see. Tchaikovsky, what are you doing out here? Get back to the company right now. No, I want some potatoes, please. I need to survive in the streets.
The assistant woman, she's named after the musical instrument, I don't know how to pronounce it, the Chinese musical instrument, the Sanxian.
How do you say
Sanxian?
Yeah. But anyway, when you run it through Google Translate, of course, it comes out as third string.
Oh!
Which makes sense as a pun for...
Yeah,
she's
yeah.
Bark's assistant, and apparently she was formerly the assistant to Carday's dad.
Okay.
According to the wiki. Okay.
So what is her full name now? Is it Mitsuru still, or...?
That may be, and that may be another way. That may be the Japanese...
Right.
Pronunciation. I don't know. But anyway, yeah. But obviously the translation of it in third string makes sense for...
Yeah.
...her position and the idea of not giving her name... throughout most of the series.
She's not even a secondary character, no. But is there all the time. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, it was classical. It was good. I always like a good school festival episode, I have to say. Right, next up, I'll do a quick Haybot check-in. Episode 17, where there's a screw, there's a bonehead. This week's episode of Haybot discovers that he's a toy.
Oh, no.
And that there's other Haybots. That you could buy at the shop. And so he takes on one of the vinyl, the one-piece vinyl Haybots that you can get. He brings him home as an apprentice.
Like, is it sentient as well?
It's sentient as well, yes.
Okay.
Which is a mistake, you see, because then the episode turns into single white female. And the, and the vinyl Haybot tries to usurp Haybot's position.
Okay.
Until Neji calls him Haybot, at which point he knows now is the time to get rid of the real Haybot. I've replaced him in Neji's head. And then it turns into a cross... Then you get a scene which is a cross between the Toy Story 3 bit and when they're all about to go to their flamey deaths. Mm. And also Terminator 2. And there's also our Lotus... Also the... I can't remember the guys. The three rubbish Vokabots.
Yeah.
Have created their own line of knockoff Haybots. Because they are who save Haybot, you see. The knockoff Haybots save Haybot.
Oh, okay.
And then there's a contest at the very end between the one surviving knockoff Haybot, and the vinyl Haybot, as to prove who is the real Haybot, because Neji cannot tell between the three of them which one's the real one. Even though only one of them is big enough and is Haybot.
I assume it's very obvious, yeah.
Yes.
Mm.
And so the vinyl one then tries to put the screw in his head, even though he can't because he's made of vinyl. And yeah, that's the end of the episode. But there's a brief bit where it flips into the future universe or an alternate universe where those characters start saying lines from the Haybot episode, but in a different context where they become more dramatic. I don't know what's going on in this show. But it was a very good episode because... What do kids like more than a single white female reference throughout an entire episode?
Oh, dear.
Well, as we know, you know, it's not just kids watching.
No, I'm not sure any kids are watching. Righty-ho. Time Bokan, episode 20... Time Bokan 24, episode 16. Galileo Galilei was actually a blank.
Still not certain... what that is, but in the episode, but he is doing one thing that's not like what he's known for.
He's rapping, but apparently he's not rapping, that's just the way he spoke.
So, yeah, but they specifically say, we're going to have a rap battle.
Yes, they do have a rap battle.
Like, so, and he questions earlier, he's like, rapper? What's that? Sounds pretty great. And
it,
yeah.
It seems like he's a temp worker for a temp agency, but it's a particular phrase they use, which I assume is a phrase in Japan for that particular type of worker.
Leaning Tower of Pisa, pusher downer.
Yeah, you see, basically seems to do menial labor, but for like an agency, so they basically send him out and he'll do whatever work they tell him. In this case, yes, making sure the Leaning Tower of Pisa is leaning every morning before the tourists show up. And then the book of the episode is a rap battle.
Yeah, or setting up who is good at rapping and...
Yes.
Or just do a way to rapping all together and just insult each other, play a game of dozens of, not even a good game of dozens of each other, but
yeah, because basically at the start of the episode, everyone's rapping apart from Callan, and then they're like, oh, you don't know what you're doing, do you? And
so I know what rap is,
yes.
Thanks. I'm cool.
Yeah, I think he called it Brian as well, saying that it does explain how rapping works in Japanese.
Yes, because they compare it to like a rhyming game.
Yeah.
So I think her point is what they're doing isn't rapping, it's that Japanese rhyming game.
Yeah, it's the one they were actually playing in Dragon Maid as well, wasn't it? I've forgotten the name of it now.
No, I think that's a different one.
That's a different rhyming game.
No, Demon and Dragon Maid is like you
say a word,
and then the last syllable of that word, someone will like say think of another, another word that begins with that syllable, and so on until.
Yeah, so they have this rap battle, and there's like some, it's one of these episodes where there are historical references, but they don't like explain them. Unlike
because the gang is called
Team Kepler.
Kepler, that's it. Yeah,
yes. And the head of the arch enemy is it Silencio, which was the name of the character in his book that he gave all the views of the Pope to. Which
it's like. At one point, there's a big fucking info dump, like, paragraph just on fucking screen. And you're like, holy shit, I need to fucking pause it to read this thing of just explaining Galileo, but...
And the female character was Galileo's mistress.
Yeah, but it's actually making reference to things, but not explaining any of the references.
No.
unlike the Sarah message, there was some additional study involved to get everything.
It's pretty great.
Yeah, I enjoyed this. I enjoyed the rap battles. I particularly enjoyed the birds' attempt at rapping, which was just going, pep, 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 pep.
Yeah.
And of course, the robot would have perfect rhythm, of course.
Yes. And also loads of speakers.
I did like the way it's like, what were the rules of rap battle? So you have to keep it insulting each other.
Yeah.
And if, like, it's just standard in rap, if you resort to violence, you're out. That's it.
Yes, because apparently Galileo had been violent because he didn't. Silencio had insulted
Marina.
Yeah.
Rather than dissing him, kind of thing.
So, and he does it again. He's trying to make him punch him, but then Marina reveals she also has bad skills.
Wicked flow.
But the other rule was if you cry, you also lose.
Oh yes,
yeah.
Yeah, it's really
so childish. Like, I love it.
But it's really like this tearing down Tokyo. In multiple instances, it's like, you're the standard main character. You got nothing for you except the thing that's on the head. But yes, I do. No.
Yeah.
And
he says he's pretty good at insults.
Yeah, Suzuki's the other one who gets it for. It's like, yeah, you like Raph a lot. You should be good at this. And then the robot just tears him apart.
It's like, your character isn't that well-defined, actually.
You barely get any lines.
And this is the robot who fucking does nothing in the episode.
Yeah, but the robot is pitiless and merciless.
Yes, yes.
So then they make a mecha by pointing the gun at the Earth.
Yeah, so it's a spinny round ball mecha.
Yes.
I kept thinking, stop aiming for the ball. Go lower down and hit
the legs.
Part.
Sweep the legs.
What do the heroes combine into?
A race car.
That's
that's it. Yeah.
And just race around the globe to shave off a bit of it.
And then as the lamest true history gem reveal, it's just a coin turns out to be it. It was like they'd written the script and they, oh shit, we've got to give them that gem.
Yeah, because they actually wrote in the going into the mech again in this episode, you know, the way they've been leaving that out a little. So I figured, it's like, oh, they're going to have a good reveal. No, they don't have a good reveal.
I say most of the action just takes place in an alleyway as well.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
But it kind of worked. I thought it was a lot of fun.
The day is saved. Didn't find Kellen's boyfriend yet. Again, it was totally real, not imaginary.
Yeah, at least they fucking say it in this one. dear.
Not many episodes left for him to show up. Unless, of course, he's been there all the time.
He's a robot.
Well, I'm assuming he's the...
He's put the bag.
Pig nose, skull mask thing, yes. Yeah, that was Time Bogan 24. Moving on to... I think we've just got a couple of things to do now. So let's go with Tiger Mask Double, Episode 15, Fierce Fight, Bigfoot Match. In which Tiger Mask has to fight Bigfoot, the biggest wrestler in the world.
Who could that be?
Well...
Bigfoot.
Bigfoot. It's the Bigfoot.
It doesn't work as well.
Who is a master... He's the biggest masked wrestler, I think they say.
Yeah.
Leaving it open for there to be a bigger non-masked wrestler to show up later.
Yeah, I think they got this guy's number, you know. He's a big guy. This guy's power going for him. He usually enters fights like really quickly, so he's probably got a lot of stamina, and he's probably bad ground ground game, so I'll swear him down.
He just has to rely on his strength, so obviously he's not very good at the technical stuff, that kind of thing.
But then he gets in the ring with him, and it's like, oh, he's really big and he's powerful, and he's got good stamina, and he's got some good holds as well. Shit!
Yeah, you assumed everything there, and you were wrong.
Luckily he wins by using the old, use his size against him.
What, by picking him up, like, whole body and throwing him out of the ring?
Because he runs at him, then he...
Yeah, he uses his momentum
judo flip.
Him.
How it goes? But, or judo suplex, I don't know.
We also are introduced to the Candy Pear.
Yeah, which his manager is really into, because like, they're cute girls like me.
Yes. Also, Aruda seems to be... I assume by the end of the series she's getting in the ring, because... There's been really hints of it, and we're now seeing her work out as well.
She did half a bench press. She's went on her way.
Yeah, exactly.
And the other, what do they call them? They actually call them divas in this?
Pain and Queen.
They've joined forces.
Pain and Queen.
Yeah, they've joined forces because obviously they weren't rivals to begin with.
Now, I assume this is based on the word... late last year that WWE were trying to get the two top stars from Stardom Wrestling in Japan, the women's wrestling organization.
They were trying to sign them, is it?
Yes.
Mm.
But then in the end, they decided they were going to stay with Stardom, so I assume they were offered better money. So I assume that's what that was based on. In a weird life-imitating art, after the episode last week where it was revealed that Tiger Mask would have to work for GWM because he won the tournament. So in the past week, the guy who won the WWE UK heavyweight tournament and some other guys who were in that tournament, they were all booked up for various UK promotions, and their booking's been pulled during the last week. I was like, wow, Tiger Mask double foresaw this.
No, it's the insidious goings on behind the scenes.
Yeah, because apparently they're going to the Royal Rumble. They've been whether they'll be in it or just there to see it, or I don't know. But yes,
was the UK show maybe a bigger draw than they thought? And you got to get these guys in the big show.
The guys who the first night of the UK show was average at best. The second night was good with the guys who obviously they knew were good going in.
Okay, and I saw a bit of like chatter about it, so I thought it was maybe a bit more received than it actually was.
The second night is definitely worth watching if you've got the WWE Network. First night you could probably skip. He's got the problem that all the guys with good gimmicks and who've got charisma in the UK are either assigned with other people.
Okay.
So you've got a bunch of people who are all signed with ITV at the moment for World of Sport.
Ah.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that at work the other time, actually. I kind of thought, can we go get wrestling on one of the channels? That'd be great.
I couldn't watch it. It was shot so badly.
Oh, dear.
There's too many cuts. It's like, just show me the action. It's just what I want to see. Just show me the action. And then you've got people signed with Ring of Honor and New Japan as well, who I'm sure the WWE would like. But who knows? Maybe Will Ospreay will show up in Tiger Mask Double at some point. If it goes
I guess if we keep watching the show, we'll be able to predict what's going to happen.
Well, yes. Now, not only is based on things happening, it's now predicting the future.
That WWE UK guys infiltrate the Royal Rumble and take it down from the inside.
I did like that bit with Mr. Question where he's just like, oh, brilliant. We put more asses in seats. That's great. And it's just
Mr. Question wouldn't say that.
Sorry, it is Mr. X. You're right. Mr. X is a... Yeah, he's just really happy with it. It's like, but Tiger Mask is trying to take you down, dude. He's trying to... Yeah.
Well, if he's going to do that, we better make some money off him before it's too late, huh?
I suppose, yeah.
Was there any of the Hell in the Hole this week?
Nothing.
No, it was just mentioned to that reporter lady.
Yeah.
By Miss X.
We should probably discuss the introduction of Bigfoot as well, because that's probably his highlight is his press conference.
Yeah, it's a pretty good introduction.
Where she's, so he's like, I'm going to show you what he's going to do to him. Rips up this tree and bear hugs it. And they go, would you like to send a message? He goes, yes, bring me steak.
No, for Tiger Mask, you don't. Oh, well, right.
I'll turn him into mincemeat. You know, he turned it around okay. it was a pretty good introduction of just this, like, how would you even describe him? Like, loincloth, but like, you know, the Tarzan one that goes over the shoulder.
Yeah, he's got a one-eyed mask. He's like got two eyes, but one eye's closed.
Yeah, and a big bunch of dreads and a beard sticking out from under the thing. It's a good look.
It's kind of like one of those like Aztec burial masks or ceremonial masks.
Yeah, I could see that.
How did the guy fit in an average size limousine? That's what I want to know.
Maybe he was lying down in it.
Great suspension in that thing.
I thought the entire car was going to like hop up, you know, that way, but it actually didn't rise that much when he came out of it. I was like, what was the point of that shot? Oh, well.
Oh, in other Tiger Max news, I believe Ham and Noodles have gone on hiatus.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Yes, so. Not even released a record. Yes, there you go. The one who writes all the songs, I think, decided they were going on hiatus. I'm not sure the other one has gone on hiatus. Look at her Twitter. She's still wandering around wearing the uniform.
It looks dumb now. It's normal. That's the opposite color of here.
The other thing in this episode was the nurse, Ruriko.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, it's her first day on the job, and she's secretly saying to Tiger Mask, I'm actually supporting you.
Yes. But the best bit is when Miss X is saying, you don't date any of the boys.
And straight away, one big sweaty dude comes up to her and is like, hey, baby, how about we get some lunch? She's like, but he gets whipped promptly in the back, so that's fine.
And like then, like, you know, so, like, he goes there in Tiger Mask guise because she's here. I should go see her. I need to go get some tape. And he goes in there. It's like, hey, how's it going? Oh, Tiger Mask, I'm going to see you. And he forgets, oh yeah, she's not Tiger Mask. Can I get some tape off you, please? Yeah, that'll do.
Oh dear.
Good stuff. Okay, final thing. Going from all action Tiger Mask to low action. ACCA, 13 Territory Inspection Department, Episode 2. The partner in crime's name is Nino.
I think the closest you get to action in this is giant food. Which just requires a lot of physical effort by the look of it.
Yeah, so they're sent to... This time he's got to go to... What's the area called?
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, it's where the really tall guy comes from.
Which makes sense, because everyone is... Everything's big there.
Yeah, Jumoku, I think.
Yeah. And the weird thing is, like, when they went to that fast food place, all the chips were giant, all the burgers were giant. It was like, you know, when you process food, you can make it smaller, right?
No, it comes out of the ground that way.
But it's a chip. It specifically does.
Massive rows of chip fields, as far as I can see.
Like, when they give him a strawberry the size of a fucking, like, basketball, I'm like, fair enough. Right, that is the size of strawberries here. But, yeah.
The key of the episode is that Groschula from the Five Secretaries believes that Genotis is part of a plan to do a coup d'etat.
And he's got the perfect cover for it because he's going to all the different areas.
So that's why he's increased the inspection period, so it will force his hand if he is.
It's forced his hand or it'll catch him out or something, yeah.
Yes. The stuff with the cigarette lighter is resolved really quickly, which I enjoy.
Yeah. I did like it that he was just on him like that. Yeah.
So, who hates me and who am I access to this and who could frame me for this? Oh, that guy. Okay, I'll sort him out then.
That guy who keeps giving me the stink eye.
Yeah. He's like, oh, the only reason you're hating me because I'm rich. I'm not rich, so now you can stop hating me. You can have a cigarette lighter.
I know you have it. I know you're trying to frame me for a crime.
I know you're doing bad things, but you're not in my jurisdiction, so therefore I'm not going to do anything about them.
Yeah. He let a kid off from stealing packets of cigarettes because it was like kids' complicated trials. I'm guessing there would be sympathy for the thieves or something.
So yeah, a gun and pointed at a child's head, for God's sake.
Yeah, I think tackling him in an alley and it was kind of like, oh, fuck, it's a little kid. Ah, fuck off, kid. That kind of way. I mean, like, you could see it as a thing of niceness, but then he does straight away, like, steal a cigarette.
Yes, and when he's known for pocketing evidence.
Yeah.
Making dodgy deals on the side.
Yeah, apparently he had to become a policeman because he couldn't advance in the original section he was in.
Did they say he applied for the Yaman's branch? Yeah.
Yeah. And then he sees Jean's sister and falls in love instantly.
instantly.
Yes.
You call that. I didn't think it was going to be instant. I thought there was going to be some interaction besides I looked at her across the road and instantly fell in love.
I think the opening sequence called it. I just interpreted what they were trying to get across.
No, yeah, but I figured there was going to be some interaction where he falls in love with her as a person as opposed to she's at a cafe.
He starts stalking her.
He isn't that kind of guy. He wouldn't make the first move.
He's going to watch her from afar like a creepy creeper. Sure.
And we meet Nino. We get more of Nino. Much more of Nino than Gene apparently knows. Or does he? I don't know. That's the big thing about this episode is by the end of the episode, you're still like, is he doing a coup d'etat? Is Mauve involved?
He seems like a nice guy, but you know so little about him.
There's all these interactions which could be coded or they could just be polite.
Yeah. Because, he goes to the section that has giant food and their computers are down for like 2 days and he just like kind of rolls up his sleeves.
Suspiciously just when he arrives. There.
Yeah. And he rolls up his sleeves like, I'll help you out, guys. And I was like, that entire thing could be fucking cover.
He's also been booked in a room that he wasn't supposed to be booked in.
Yeah.
But then there's the scene before he goes when he meets Mauve in the bread shop and Mauve says you should try the bread from that fast food place they end up going to.
Yeah, so is that him being sent to different places?
Yeah, and then he comes back with one for her and he's like, is that a thing? Is she telling him to go there to collect something?
I don't know because, Gene said doesn't normally go to this bakery, but his sister asked to pick up some of the nice bread from there. So my dad was way to get it.
Is that code as well?
Yeah, that's the thing.
His sister had done this as well.
You should go to this place. And later on, it's like, I brought you back this package of bread, giant bread, that anything could be hidden inside.
And he knows he's being followed, so he asks Nino to get rid of the person who's following him. Nino is apparently this private eye turn journalist. But it turns out he's actually the secret agent Crow, who's been spying on Gene since he was a teenager.
Yeah, so he's been following him for his entire life, pretending to be his friend. And he actually noticed that there was another guy following him. And he's like to the higher ups, he was like, guys, you got to trust me, right? He fucking spotted your tail, no bother. He's never going to spot me because I'm his best friend for years.
But at the same time, by the end of the episode, you think he might be his best friend. This might be another level.
Yep. If he's known him for that long, maybe this dude's working with him. It's hard to say at this stage, yeah.
I think the guy at Shepperson must be kind of aware because he did say it out loud. I thought someone was watching me, but then you came along here, Nino. I've had to feel a lot better now. So you're probably thinking, the guy watching was fucking Nino. He probably already know this.
Yeah, again, it suggests that he might know it's him.
Yes, or it would be like, if anyone's going to be following me, I'd like it to be my friend.
Because he does thank him, I think two or three times of like, hey, thanks for sorting that thing out for me.
But we also learn that he's come back with cigarettes. So somebody has given him cigarettes.
I think he specifies he gets the cigarettes for free or something.
And he's got a special red cigarette as well as he doesn't normally get. Again, is that has to be some kind of meaning. That probably is something like red cigarette. You're being fucking watched, dude. Yeah. So watch out.
And also, is there even a coup d'etat? Is it just Grossula being paranoid? Is it Grossula? Because
they specify, that ACCA was set up to be a fucking paranoid organization that's trying to find threats from everywhere. So are they just seeing shit where there's nothing? Yeah. Are we seeing shit that there's nothing because they're seeing shit? Yeah, we don't fucking know.
Is this a thing by Grossula to cover up something he's been doing? Because remember, he was about to close ACCA down until those crimes got revealed, and then suddenly he's going the other way. He's back to them his own motion. So is this just trying to throw everybody else off the scent of him?
So it's either several plots or nothing is happening,
which is why it's great.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah,
it's like kind of feeling we used to get from Cognitive Revolution, guys. Didn't it? Trying to pull the threads together.
We're not trying to relate it to reality. Is about the only thing it's missing. Yeah.
Oh dear, my computer screen doesn't look very healthy, so I'm not sure how much recording we're getting here, but I've got the other recorder on as well, so.
Okay. Got my one, so you should be fine.
Right. So this is great. You should be watching it if you're not.
Yeah.
It's amazing how something so low-key, and just throwing the few facts it throws in, or even not even facts, just theories, makes everything your brain suddenly starts going crazy.
I think because it's such like a cam show of people calmly walking around and not really doing fucking much, it lets you fill in a lot of the space.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah, obviously for us, it's a lot of fun.
And we've not even been introduced to the royalty characters yet.
Yeah. I think like when they had Shingo and Natsumi, those people were put in this kind of visual showcase, which it does still look nice.
Yeah.
Well, I think they got more as well because look, this guy's a good director, and this thing wouldn't be hitting home at all unless even the frame of shots in such a way to make you like think and about scenes in certain ways. So it's not always about a feast for guys putting on a grand spectacle. It's also about, you know, framing things, directing things in a way to, you know, lead your eye, lead your thinking.
Yeah, yeah, kind of like using blocking and everything, but the pace of it as well, absolutely.
Yeah, which is essential to getting this to function, and hence why we're like able to discuss it and cope with little things like that.
I would laugh so much if like nothing is happening in this show and it's just fascinating to watch.
But the fact that it's making us like think that way about it is good in and of itself.
Yeah,
it is excellent stuff. And I think that wraps up this week's episode of Let's Go, the weekly anime podcast about weekly anime. Be back next week to hang with the Let's Go gang. And if you can't get enough of us, check out our other podcasts at secretofthesailormadness.com and dynamitingthebrain.com. Goodbye.
Bye.
See ya.